Okay, well, good morning to each one. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning, and it's good to be here. Thankful to be here. Thankful to see each one of you here this morning. So. My voice is a little bit, seems like my voice got a little bit not very clear this morning, so hopefully I can share what I was thinking on and do it without, too many coughs. And this morning I thought I would ask a question this morning. Who here this morning would desire something that is of great value? Sounds like most. I would guess most of us would. I see a few hands rising up. Who would desire to be lifted up this morning? Who would desire to be saved? Beautified with salvation? Who here would delight in the abundance of peace and desire something that would be precious in the sight of the Lord? I think all of us would. There's a promise in the Bible. I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 5. Verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And I don't know exactly what all that means, but it is a promise. I don't think I understand what it means when it talks about, "For they shall inherit the earth," but we'll just leave that there. I probably won't share much on that. If somebody understands that or knows more about that, I'd be interested in knowing more of what that means. But this verse, Jesus shared this verse, and it's written in Psalm 37, verse 11. It says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And in verse, I'll just turn to Psalm 76 as well. I think I might read all of that psalm. Psalm 76, "In Judah is God known, his name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword, and the battle. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled, they have slept their sleep, and none of the men have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a deep sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven, the earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes, he is terrible to the kings of the earth." So we see in this portion of scripture that there there's the world and the earth as we know it and all the powers thereof are going to come to an end. They're going to be cast down. But it says that God will save the meek of the earth. That's encouraging to me. Psalm 147:6 says, "The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground." Psalm 149:4 says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation." In Isaiah 29:19 it says, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." So, what does this word meekness mean, or what is a meek person? The Strong's Concordance says depressed in mind, and it has gentle in parentheses, depressed in mind or circumstances. Needy, especially saintly, humble, lowly, meek, and poor. And it sounds pretty upside down. It sounds pretty backwards to think about, you know, in this world, that the thought of this world would be that I have to stand for my rights. I have to fight for what I want. I have to look out for myself. Is the idea that the world would be walking in? And I've heard it even in the church that those that are the loudest tend to get, you know, they tend to be get their way. I've heard that said, and that's really not the way. That's not the way the Word of God teaches us. One of the definitions of meekness in the 1828 dictionary, a lot of it does have the idea of humility in it, but it has the idea of being able to suffer. It has the idea of being able to even suffer wrongfully when it's, you know, when I didn't do anything to deserve it, to be able to suffer wrongfully and joyfully and accept it. Is part of the idea. First Peter, I'll just read that verse. First Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." And so we can see it is a precious thing. It is great in the sight of God to have this quality of meekness in our hearts, to be willing to suffer wrongfully. So, If we look at a few people in the Bible that would have this quality of meekness, the first one that my mind went to is our Lord Jesus. I don't know that there's a person that exemplified a more meek spirit than he did. And I'd like to just read a commentary on meekness. It's a lot of reading this morning, but I'd like to read a commentary on meekness in Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So we see how a meek and lowly and a humble heart touched God's heart. He was exalted far above all principality and power, but it started with humility and with meekness. I wrote down a few things. It says, God looks through the earth for those who tremble at his word. When he finds one who is meek and doesn't demand his own way, one who allows others to take advantage of him, God steps in unusual ways and shows himself strong and even moves others on his behalf. In this way, he inherits many blessings he otherwise would not have received by demanding them. Just a few thoughts that I had. It touches the heart of God, I believe, when we cry out to him and we cast ourselves on him. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Many of us could quote that. It says, come unto me, all ye that are maybe I should just turn to it. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's probably not a more desirable quality that we would desire to see in our Almighty God than the quality that He is meek and lowly, that He's willing to come and dwell with us. And as we interact with brothers and sisters, you know, when there's just something that doesn't draw me, when I notice that someone else is far above me, and they look at me like I'm just nobody. It doesn't. They, even though they might have, you know, God in all His perfection and God in all His beauty and everything that He has, never makes us feel like we don't match up, or that He's not willing to come to us. May we do that for other people as well. It draws others when they know that we have, when maybe we have qualities that they don't, but there's a sense of humility and a willingness to just condescend to men of low estate. It draws others. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, talks about Christ. Suffering wrongfully, but I'll just read a couple verses before that. I hadn't written this down, but in verse 19 of chapter 2, 1 Peter, it says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again, when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." And that is meekness, to commit ourselves to Him that judges righteously, and not to try to make things right in our own strength. "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And the picture of one of the greatest pictures of this meekness is when Christ was willing to embrace the cross. He didn't run from the cross. He didn't try to find His way out of it, but He was willing to embrace the cross and just simply for the love of humanity, carry it. And as they nailed Him to the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them." there's a song that says He could have called 10,000 angels, but He didn't. He died alone for you and me. Moses, it says, was the meekest man on the earth at that time. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, I'll read 1 to 3, and it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian, Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And one of the pictures of humility here is God was not pleased with their attitude. God smote Miriam with leprosy. She was leprous. And it says in verse 11, it says that Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. And it says in verse 13 that Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And so he had a, even though they had a wrong attitude towards him, and they, you know, Moses probably very likely could have said, you know, you deserve your leprosy. You had your attitude and your sin, and God judged you, but he cried out, and he asked the Lord to heal her. There's another instance where God was grieved with the children of Israel, and he said, I'm going to smite them, I'm going to get rid of them, it repents me, and I'm going to make of you a great nation, he told Moses. And Moses said, no, I don't want you to do that. And so you can see his even though he suffered a lot of things from those people, he had a desire to see them prosper. Not just that, but he had a desire to see God's kingdom prosper. You see meekness in the life of David when he was pursued by Saul. He could have a couple times taken Saul's life. And Saul himself recognized that David was more righteous than him, but he never laid his hand on him. He was cursed by Shimei, and he said, it's okay, let him go. God told him to do that. There's some instructions that God has given us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, verse 24 and 25, it says, And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be meek. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 talks about that if there's a man taken in a fault, that those that are spiritual should restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. Ephesians 4. Verses 1 to 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. if you look at those verses, it implies to us that there's going to be times where not everything's going to be perfect. We're not always going to be on a picnic, and it's not always going to be just cake and pie. There's times where we're going to have, he's talking to the Ephesians, he's talking to the church, I believe. And I understand that this applies to those outside the church as well, unbelievers, but I believe even in the church there needs to be a lowliness and a meekness and a long-suffering towards one another and a forbearance one with another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Colossians 3:12-15 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." This meekness is a gentleness. It's it's okay. This definition in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it was depressed in mind, gentle, depressed. Or gentle, I think, in mind, or I don't know how to look at all that. Especially saintly, humble, lowly, meek, and poor. In the New Testament, in the scriptures that are read here, it means gentleness, by implication, humility. Gentleness, kindness in the face of injury, I'm not sure, maybe some of that was my words, I'm not sure, but not retaliation. So it's when someone smites us on the one cheek and we don't smite back, that is, and we could do it. If it's not weakness, as someone shared, it's not weakness, but it is strength under control. And we see that in the life of David and Jesus and many of those that are in the examples that are read. So in closing here this morning, I thought I would like to just open it up a little bit. And I know there's a lot of different reasons, but why would we be meek? What's the reason or the purpose? Is it, if there's any thoughts or that someone has, be a blessing, Brother Luke. Yeah, just having peace, knowing that God is going to take care of that. God sees all those things. Mark?
It goes hand in hand with humility. Mm-hmm. You can't really have one without the other, but you need both.
Yeah, it's good.
I can testify to Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And
Yeah, it doesn't take long. And you look at humanity at ages 1 and 2, and it doesn't take long to figure out that if someone takes my toy, I'm gonna fight back. You know, it's just part of humanity.
It demonstrates rest and as we share peace, confidence, trust. Mm-hmm. That's all what meekness. A meek person will be confident. Mm-hmm. Have the confidence of his kingdom.
If we don't have meekness, it will rob us of joy. Again, as you share, I think meekness is not just a power of forgiving, it's also an inward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thought that came to me this morning. I'll just leave it with you here. You know, it would be a shame to suffer wrongfully without a purpose. Like, that would just be a waste of my time and my energy. It would be a shame to take all these things and not fight back if there's not a purpose for it. And I think we see in the life of Christ, there was a love in his heart for humanity. And so, as we can, like you said, I think Jason mentioned about an inward forgiveness, and not just, but you know, it's possible to know what we need to do, and maybe someone does something and it might not be wrong, or it might not be right, it might be a wrong against us, and outwardly we just refrain from striking back. But the thought that came to my mind this morning is that if it's not for love, it's probably a good thing, it's still a blessing. But the bigger picture, I think, would be that there would be love in my heart for that person, that I could truly desire that person to prosper, and I could truly desire that person to succeed in life and in the ways of God. So I will leave that with you, and may the Lord bless each one of you.